Okay. Open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And one of the things about operating in the highest faith possible is understanding that God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit dwells within the believer. Too many times, people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit think of themselves as just having received a wonderful blessing or some kind of rich spiritual experience, and they miss the teaching of the Word entirely. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That right there, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. That right there, if you'll understand that much, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. That's better than any goosey, bumpy feeling you're ever going to get. You know, too many times people think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just some kind of something to raise the hair up on the back of your head, and man, it was wonderful, it was great, and hallelujah for a month, and then all of a sudden you're just back to kind of plain Jane. You missed it. This is the thing right here. God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit moved in there, endued you with power from on high to do the things that Jesus said you could do. You know, the ministry is a lot easier than what people make it out to. The mission field is a lot easier than what people make. And I make it a point to talk to different missionaries and different evangelists, different people running around in the world, and they show up and they tell me what they're doing. If they come at me and they start telling me how hard it is, how difficult it is, how frustrating it is, I ask them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they start dodging that bullet as fast as they can. On the other hand, when I talk to somebody who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they show up and they start talking about how exciting things are. They start talking about how much fun it is on the mission field. Sure, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun too. It's an adventure. You know, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God Himself is in there. Amen? Some of the stories that I've read about missionaries, one of the greatest ones I ever read was this missionary was in a jungle somewhere, and he was going to go preach, evidently, to headhunters, because they started chasing him, and they was going to kill him. And he ran as fast as he could, and they finally subdued him and tied him to a tree. And he didn't know anything else to do, so he just started speaking in tongues. He just started speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, all of these headhunters got born again. Whatever he was saying in tongues, evidently God made them hear what they needed to hear, and they became Christians. So he didn't have to die that day. It can be very exciting. You know, it can be a very good adventure. it can be pretty exciting. But infilling of the Holy Ghost means that He, the Holy Ghost, comes to dwell in us. Go to John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus is talking here. He said, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." See, the Bible tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's why. Said the Holy Spirit comes to him and he's there forever. He is a person. You got to realize that we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all three and they're all one. They will always agree with each other. God the Father will not say anything that God the Son doesn't agree with. God the Son will not say anything that God the Holy Spirit will not agree with. And God the Holy Spirit will not ever say anything that doesn't agree with the Word. Very important. Very important. None of them are going to tell you anything that doesn't agree with the Word. A lot of people are sure that they hear from God, but they don't ever back up what they heard. They don't ever compare it to what the Bible says. And then they wonder why they get in a mess. You know, the devil can talk to you too. That's why it's so important to match everything you hear to the Word. So the seventh and a very extremely vital step in our search for the highest kind of faith is to realize that our body is the temple of God. God Himself is the Holy Spirit. In the person of the Holy Spirit dwells within us. See, before, you know, God would, He abided in the Ark of the Covenant, and He said He'd talk to the people once a year. The high priest would have to go put blood on the mercy seat, and then they would get a message from God. It was on the Day of Atonement. It was an exciting day. But they would go, they'd get a message from God. But God said He was not going to live in a temple that was built by hands. That's why when you get born again, you become the body of Christ. God dwells inside of you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Once you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God resides on the inside of you. So the reality of that indwelling is very important to understand. In the Old Testament times, God's earthly dwelling place was the tabernacle or the temple. But after Christ died on the cross and rose again and returned to heaven, He sent the Holy Ghost upon the believers on the day of Pentecost. He no longer dwells in a man-made holy of holies. Our bodies have become His temple. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. So what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Did you know you don't belong to you? You really don't belong to you. You belong to God. That's a good thing, because He bought you out of slavery to the devil. See, if you don't belong to God, you're going to belong to the devil. See why it's so important to get born again? You need to have that change of ownership. So now, you've actually become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Once you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you get endued with power to go out into the mission field, which is out there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In every crisis that we run into, we should instinctively say that we are a conqueror. We are more than a victor, for the Creator dwells in me. The greater one lives in me. He can put me over. He can make me a success. I cannot fail. This is not bragging on yourself. It's bragging on the one that is in you. This is your positive confession. This is where you're actually meditating His word. You're actually saying what He says about you. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What one thing that's doing is you're praising God. Praise steals the avenger. Also, when you're praising God, you're taking your focus off of your mountain and you're putting it on God, where it's supposed to be, and you're causing yourself to change from the inside out. It takes a little bit of practice. And sometimes you feel a little bit foolish because you're standing there and everything's all wrong and you're shaky and you're worried and everything is not good and you're saying these positive confessions. And your mind will be sitting there saying, "Man, you are an idiot. Don't you know how many bills you have? Don't you know how impossible this situation is? Don't you know this? Don't you know that?" Well, the Bible tells us we have to have our mind renewed to the Word of God. And it's going to take us a little while to untrain our old way of thinking. It's not going to come overnight. But it will come. But we do have a part in it. We have to meditate on His Word. We have to get His Word in our hearts so we can get it out in the atmosphere. Too many Spirit-filled believers cringe before the trials of life and needlessly allow the devil to defeat them. They run around crying on one another's shoulders, praying some pitiful, weak little prayer, wondering why victory doesn't come. Yet all the time, help is present, for the Holy Spirit is inside of them, ready to help them. You have absolutely no business living your life in fear. Once you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've been endued with power from on high. You've been given the name of Jesus. You've been given the Word of God. All you have to do is get that Word in you and get it out of your mouth in the atmosphere and use the name of Jesus and watch Him change your circumstances. Watch Him change your life. Literally, you can watch the Word change your life right before your eyes. It will change you. When you get His Word inside of you, it will change you. Too many people are afraid of the devil. There's too many church people running around thinking that the devil went away when Jesus died on the cross. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. I had one guy tell me that demons stopped existing when Jesus died on the cross. It doesn't say that anywhere. In fact, Jesus told us how to deal with demons. He spent more time telling us how to deal with the devil than he did about healing. He showed us how to get rid of that rat. You don't need to be afraid of the devil. You've already been declared victorious over him. Jesus defanged him. If he's chewing on you, he's doing it with gums. He's already been defeated. The only reason he causes problems in anybody's life is because we allow it. See, Jesus isn't going to just magically come down here and chase the devil away for you. He's already conquered him, and then he gave you authority over him. So if anything's going to be done about the devil, you're going to have to do it. But the good news is that he's already overcome the devil. And he's placed you in a position of authority to overcome the devil too. Amen? The endowment of power is so important. And it's such a muddied subject. The water around this subject has been so muddied. And for a good reason, because there's been a lot of people act like idiots. You know, when people do crazy things, hoping maybe somebody will see them as being more spiritual than somebody else, that doesn't do anybody any good. Did you know it doesn't do anybody any good at all to jump from chair to chair, run around, act like an idiot, jump off, swing around on the fan, roll around on the floor, act crazy? You want to do that? Go home. This is the gist of it. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive the endowment of power so that you now have the tools. You're equipped to go out there. Out there. And minister to people who need help. I've had people tell me, I'd go to a church somewhere and they'd say, well, we're pretty charismatic. We want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in the church. They're talking about in here. Okay. They do. But here's the thing. God wants to have a personal one-on-one fellowship with you. He doesn't want you to receive anything less than that. He wants to have you receive his very best. What people want to do is show up at church and sit in the pews and hope that maybe the pastor or the prophet or teacher or the evangelist or apostle will come up and say, I have a word of wisdom for you. I have a word of knowledge for you. I have a special prophecy in tongues for you. And then I'll give you the interpretation. That's not God's best for you. Did you know that secondhand? God's best for you is to hear straight from him. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, however, though, is when there's somebody out there going completely the wrong way. They could be a Christian. Maybe they're not born again. Maybe they're a Christian and they're just on the wrong path completely, 100%. And God's been trying to talk to them and they're not hearing him. Maybe he needs somebody to get in there and interrupt the flow and say, hey, God has a message for you. When I was around a lot of people, the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowed through me a lot more. But I was around a lot of different people, and I'd find myself in strange positions, strange places, for no reason. I just show up there, and then the gifts of the Holy Spirit would start flowing, and I'd start ministering to somebody, and they would get some freedom. You know, they get set free. Is it? They get born again, or they get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But see, that's something for everybody to operate in. But if you're looking for it to be showing off in here, you're looking in the wrong place, because you're supposed to be looking for it to be showing off out there through you. One of the things I always wondered, what the most important gift of the Holy Spirit was. I always wondered what it was. Could it be wisdom, knowledge, miracles, healing, tongues, prophecy, the interpretation of tongues? What could possibly be the most important gift of the Holy Spirit? And somebody finally clarified it for me. The most important gift that you can operate in is the one that the man standing in front of you needs you to operate in. If he needs a word of wisdom, that's the most important gift for you to operate in. If he needs a miracle, that's the one you need. Whatever it is that's going to set a man free, that's the most important one. After all, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit that we're looking for. When we're dealing with somebody, we don't want to be dealing with them on our own flesh. We want to deal with them through the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to show up and set somebody free. However it is they need to get set free, that's what we want. But you've been endued with power. In the New Testament church, it was the exception rather than the rule for there to be any believers who had not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the supernatural sign of speaking in other tongues. The apostles recognized the necessity of the indwelling Spirit of God and stressed this in their teachings to the new convert. Did you hear that? Almost everybody had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Almost all of them. It was almost a rarity to find somebody that hadn't. And if you did find somebody that didn't, they got it. Nowadays, we got millions of people running around that do not, emphatically do not, believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And talking in tongues is of the devil. Why? It's a false teaching. False doctrines of men. We'll just take this chapter out of the Bible and we won't talk about that ever again. Sometimes I have a devious streak in me, and I run into a lot of preachers, and it's just a thing with me. You know, I won't tell them I'm a pastor or nothing, and they'll be going along and say, "You're a preacher?" "Yeah." I say, "Wow, do you believe the full gospel?" "I preach the whole gospel, 100% the whole gospel." I say, "Cool, man. So you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" And they start walking a little faster. I say, "Well, I thought you believed the whole gospel." "What happened?" But what's more important, the doctrines of men or the Bible? What is more important, what mama said or the Bible? If it's not the Bible, then you're in trouble. If what somebody else said is more important than what the Bible says, you're on very shaky ground. But there's people that don't want to believe the whole gospel. I mean, they have the right. I mean, they can believe however they want to believe. But the bad part of it is they're running around telling other people this. There's people that will fight you tooth and nail if you talk about healing. Well, what's wrong with being healed? Well, we believe it's part of the redemption, but that's when you get to heaven. I don't need healing in heaven. I need it right here, right now. It's God's will. No, I'm sick. Then don't go to the doctor ever again. Don't you ever go to the doctor and get medicine if it's God's will for you to be sick. But the Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you and show you if you'll just let Him. And it's fun. But here's the thing. We always get these maps on how we think things have to be. We got these little boxes. You know, this, we got to do things this way all the time. That's the way we've always done it. You know, and that's one of the things of this church. I didn't even go to this church, but this church asked me if I would go help their congregation learn how to go out into the community and witness to people. I said, well, sure. So we go and we go out and we talk to people and witness to people and get some of them born again and all this stuff. So, but we had these little, they'd always say, okay, you got this neighborhood and this team has this neighborhood and this team has this neighborhood. And so one day we were going down the road, we were going to go to our little mission field, and we were going down the road, and I told this lady that was driving, I said, you need to turn right here and go down this street. And she said, that's not our area. And I said, I don't care. You need to turn down this street and go down this street. So we went down this street, and she said, how far do we go? And I said, I don't know. So we went down there three or four blocks, and I said, now you need to turn right up there. So we turned right, and we went down there, and I said, see that man standing underneath that awning? Pull up in front of his house. So we pulled up in front of his house. I got out of my car, out of that car, and I walked up to him. I said, God has something to say to you, and he about started crying. And I said, you need to be born again right now. And he said, I didn't know what to do. My wife just left me. I said, you need to be born again right now. He'd been in Catholic Church all his life. He got born again on the spot. Praise God. Don't always have to have everything figured out. Sometimes you have to just let Him lead you around, but you have to be willing to be led. That's the most important thing about operating in the gifts of the Spirit and letting the endowment of power flow through you, is you must be willing to be used. Well, what if I look like a fool? Believe God. Believe God. Let Him lead you. And He won't let you look like a fool. One lady, she was part of a powerful, big ministry. And she was driving down the road, and God said, I want you to go to this gas station. So she goes into this gas station. She said, I want you to go back there to that cooler, and I want you to stand on your head. Remember, she was hooked up with one of the most powerful ministries in America. So she said, okay. So she went over there and stood on her head in front of that cooler. stood there for quite a while on her head. He said, okay, now what? He said, okay, get up. Go to the teller. So she scrambled around, found her some kind of ice cream or something so she didn't look completely crazy. Walked up to the teller, put her thing down there, and the girl at the teller, at the cash register said, you know, I was going to kill myself. I told God, if you're really real, have somebody come in here and stand on their head in front of that cooler. She got born again on the spot. Her life was changed because somebody was willing to just go do something completely out of the ordinary. Amen? We just got to get ourselves out of the way. Did you know you're really not as cool as you think you are? It's okay to just get rid of your inhibitions and let God be God in your life so He can minister to somebody that needs God as much as you do. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Holy Spirit does for us as He teaches us how to rightfully divide your word, as He encourages us in the ministry of the mission field, as He shows us how to deal with other people, shows us how to minister to people that need help. Father, we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.